Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Well, I'm certainly very, very happy that I'm here this morning.
Amen.
And I have a message from God.
Hallelujah.
Tailor-made just for you.
Hallelujah.
And he wants to speak to you through this message, and he wants to touch your heart in such a way that this message will be transformational to your life. Okay, this isn't just a sermon. Okay, I don't just pull sermons out of the hat. I pray and I seek the Holy Spirit. I pray that he fill me with all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And so this morning, I want you to have ears to hear. And, you know, sometimes we really have to learn how to listen. And sometimes we're not very good at that. Not accusing you of that. I'm just saying that there's an art to really listening, especially when it is important. Now, obviously, there's nothing more important than the Word of God, rightly divided and brought forth in a way that is transformational to your heart. My messages are always Christ-centered. They're always rightly divided. And, you know, I don't get into things that put a question mark in our mind as to whether this is true or not. We've been dealing with the message of forgiveness, and you know, it took me into a greater depth of my understanding and the potential that it brought to me to be able to understand the power and the potential of true forgiveness. And so last week we had Testimony Sunday, and so I kind of missed the message then. I started out, when we were forgiven through the blood of the cross, the Father's demand for divine justice was paid in full. That's something you must understand, and you must thank God daily and tell yourself, I've been forgiven through the blood of the cross. Okay, there's nothing any longer between me and God. All walls have been broken down. God has totally accepted us through the blood of Jesus in Christ. Now, that doesn't mean we don't have to repent when we sin. I don't mean that. But we have made peace with God. And when Jesus hung on the cross, if you take all of those statements that he made on the cross, every one of them was an eternal statement. You know, when Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, this was not a natural form of forgiveness. This was a statement that rang out through time and eternity. It's a statement that only Jesus Christ on the cross could make, because he was the only sinless person that ever lived, and his blood prevailed in our behalf to cleanse us from our sin and bring forgiveness. So I practice the testimony. I don't try and force myself to believe I've forgiven. You are forgiven. Okay, you don't have to convince yourself that you're forgiven. You are forgiven. You have to accept it by faith and thank God that you are forgiven. Okay. So we're going to talk along that line today. All the demands of justice have been met. A lot of times I think that we have a controversy in our own heart of coming to a place of peace, and our picture of God, you know, just like Satan, just remember Adam and Eve and what Satan did to Adam and Eve. He's constantly trying to do that to us, that to rob us of our peace that took place through God's forgiveness on the cross. And you need to get up in the morning and you need to say, thank you, Father, that I am forgiven. I am permanently and totally forgiven. So giving and receiving God's forgiveness needs to become our testimony and witness of Christ in us. Okay. That's why Revelation 12:11 says, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word. What is the word of your testimony? What is the word of your testimony? Have you actually established that in your heart and mind? That you are to have a testimony, a real witness of what God has done. And that testimony needs to be something that you treasure in your heart. And that will enable you then to overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. They overcame. You're going to have to overcome this world and the devil that's in it. And the only way you're going to do that effectively and completely is you have to have a testimony of the truth. Do you understand? You have to have that in your heart. You can't have an opinion. Okay, there's a million opinions out there, but I'm forgiven at the cross through the blood of Jesus. That is a divine certainty, okay, that can never be changed. We can misunderstand it, but the truth can never be changed. Okay, so that's the first thing you need to learn, is to walk in the divine certainties of what the cross, what really happened at the cross. Even, you know, Jesus, when he said it was finished, he provided a finished redemption. Now, I don't want to get into that message right now, but these are divine certainties and they're eternal realities that will carry us in through time and eternity. So a complete work, and that's why Jesus, when he ascended into heaven, sat down, because he did a complete work on the cross. Left nothing out. So we have at the cross received by faith. Everybody say total and complete forgiveness. Okay, that's a reality that's always there. We now have the same power to give that forgiveness to others. Isn't that beautiful? That we have, you know, not only have we been forgiven, and I don't use the word supernatural. I'm sorry that I don't use that, because that is, Satan is supernatural. Okay, but he can't duplicate, he can't forgive us. That's divine. That's a level above, and I don't want to get into that, but everybody uses supernatural, and that's a lower supernatural. Satan is supernatural. Other religions do supernatural things, but only Christ did something that no one else could do. There's a difference. There's supernatural power, and then there is divine power. And Satan cannot duplicate divine power. It's impossible. Okay, so I just want to get that straightened out, because that's the big term everybody's using. And it is error. Not trying to get into controversy, but I'm just trying to get things straightened out. God's power is supreme above all other forms of power.
Yes. Yes.
All right. Okay, did you get that? Yes. All right, just trying to eliminate an error. I'm not looking for supernatural power. I'm looking for the same power that God used when he raised Christ from the dead. And only Christ could have that power. Only Christ can give that power. Okay, and that's above supernatural power, all right. And one day I'll get into a teaching on that where where Moses' serpent swallowed up, Moses' rod swallowed up the other serpent. Okay, there's always been supernatural power. But we're in the realm of divine power now. Okay. So we now have a calling on our life, a testimony, and we have that power. The new man in Christ obviously has that power to forgive with the same forgiveness that Christ forgave us with. Okay. And I taught no double standard. 1 John 1:12-13. Let's look at that. John 12, but as many as received him, what did he do? To them gave he power, his power, to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. He gave us that power. Okay. I'm just trying to show you that there is, and I tried to bring out the fact, didn't try, but I brought out the fact, that at the cross, we became a new creature in Christ. Okay. The old man died and was crucified with him, and the new man came forth that has the same power of Christ in him. Okay. I cover all bases here. I try and thoroughly cover the truth in as much detail and being as total as I can. Okay. You're a new creature in Christ. At some point, you need to start acknowledging that. That's when his divine power is then released in and through you. All right. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Now, if you're trying to deal with divine power in your natural thinking, you read so many articles, and I'm not being critical about it. They say, well, it's so hard to forgive. Well, if you're doing it in your own strength, yes, it is hard to give. You are not going to forgive. You are going to have a lesser form of forgiveness. If you do it in your own strength and in your own power, you're going to fall short of the forgiveness that God gave us on the cross. You understand what Pastor's saying? Okay. Let's get a hold of this now. You're a new creature now if you're in Christ. Okay, you have the same spirit that Christ had to forgive. Okay, Romans 8:14. Now, what's the Holy Spirit? Let's look at Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, what's the Holy Spirit going to? Obviously, he's leading us into all truth, which, we can talk about different realities of the truth. But what do you think he leads us to do? in the face of offenses. Now, Christ was the most rejected man that ever lived. Okay, and that, I think we find that in Isaiah 54:3. I don't have it right now, but it's he suffered rejection in his innocence. And the Holy Spirit, if you're going to live for Christ and you're going to walk in Christ, the accuser of the brethren is going to be there every day to accuse you before. You get it? He's there. Okay. You're not stupid. You know that your mind comes under attack. And then he's going to use other people to condemn you. Now, you know, some of the things that they may condemn you for may have be truth. They may have an element of truth, but they need to learn to tell you your fault and then forgive you and reconcile with you. Okay. I've got all that. I've gone through the teaching. I don't say thoroughly. I'm trying to give you an understanding of forgiveness. You need forgiveness. You need to have a revelation that you are forgiven, or you're going to be a victim of condemnation in life, especially every time you make a mistake. You're going to feel totally condemned. You're going to feel like a failure. God is not the one that condemns. He's the one that justifies us through his blood as though we never sinned. I'm not looking for condemnation from God. I'm looking for his love and conviction to correct me, but not to condemn me. Okay. Satan condemns, God convicts. Okay. That you need to understand. Okay. And I love conviction because I love correction. And I know God's correcting me in his love, not in his rejection. Okay. Big difference. Satan just wants to condemn, and he wants to find people that will be, that he can work through to condemn. I think it's a real tragedy when it's other Christians. You see, think, you know, I was thinking the other, you know, yesterday about the, this is important, the other side of forgiveness. And sometimes people don't find out what's on the other side of forgiveness because they reject you and refuse to forgive. Okay. You know, when I received Christ, I didn't fully understand that I was justified as though I never sinned. But I found out now what is on the other side of forgiveness. There's justification as though we never sinned. Okay. There's the gift of righteousness. There's the gift of sonship. There's the gift of transformation. I found all these things out. I'm only interested in walking in the truth. I'm not interested in coming up with a theory. I want to know the truth, and I want to be my heart established in it, all right? So there's all kinds of ideas, but there's only one rightly divided truth. All right. So if you're God's son and you're that new man that was crucified with Christ on the cross, then the Holy Spirit will have his preeminence in you to lead you to forgive and do what you can to reconcile with people. Okay. There's no blessing in division. There's no blessing in people that are divided. They never find the grace of God in that instance to resolve the conflict. Instead of running, you need to teach people how to face the conflict, how to face the unforgiveness. You know, I've got years of watching people run over superficial, ridiculous things that could have been resolved through the power of forgiveness. Do you understand what I'm saying? I see it over and over again, and they run. And they don't understand that they're going to have to face that trial somewhere if they don't pass it here. Amen? Okay. Now, I have a mercy gift, I guess, and so I've always been very forgiving to people, but that's a grace God gives me, but he gives us all that grace, all of it. Okay. So the Holy Spirit always, your witness is to walk in the miracle of total forgiveness. And I'm going to tell you something, forgiveness is a miracle. Forgiveness is a miracle. We are to live in the grace and power of, say it, total forgiveness. Now, let's just realize why we have the potential, and I just keep going back and back at some of the Galatians 2:20 and 21. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's either Christ living in us, or we have no testimony. We have no power. We have no potential to forgive. If it's not Christ in us, our hope of glory, right? It's now him taking over in our heart to reflect the same forgiveness that he gave us. Amen. And you know that, but I keep going over and over to plant that seed in you, okay? Now, let's look at Matthew 6:12 just for a minute, because I want to show you something. Matthew 6:12, and forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now, that was a prayer that Jesus told us to pray. But let me just say this about that prayer. From the point of the cross, that prayer was already answered. Okay, he's already forgiven us our debts as we forgive those who trespass against us. Okay, think about your life for a minute. And think about the point at which you receive Christ. Think about all the past debt, okay, that was forgiven you at the cross. Okay. You can go all the way back into your past, as far back as you want to go, and realize that all at the cross, when you were justified through his blood, all that debt has been forgiven. All of it. All of it. When he said, "Forgive us our debts," he, on the cross, he forgave us our debts. He canceled out the debts of our past. That doesn't necessarily mean that there weren't consequences with what you did, but we're forgiven. We're freed from our past. And I don't have any problem whatsoever, you know, people going over teachings on. You know, I think we do need to resolve the past, but it's easily done by just saying, "Hey, my past is forgiven. I'm free from the condemnation of my past." You know, I mean, that's the easiest shortcut to go. And sometimes people are so affected by their past that they just keep living it over and over. They're trying to defend themselves. You don't have to defend yourself. Christ is, you give him your heart. You're already forgiven. He's your defense, amen, instead of trying to you know, just a lot of nonsense goes on, and we all do it, but I'm forgiven. Therefore, I'm free from the sins of my past. Hello? Okay, see? And so he answered that prayer at the cross. And he also gave us the same power to forgive. He knew we would have to live in a fallen realm. Do you really believe that you're forgiven? That's one of the biggest things, is that people, you know, it isn't just having unforgiveness towards others, but it's being able to believe you are forgiven. Okay. You need to forgive yourself. God has already forgiven you, right? Okay. So I'm just trying to make it real simple. You know, only God knows how many trespasses that he cleansed with his blood. I'm just glad they're cleansed. I'm glad I'm free from my past. I'm glad that I don't have to go into my past and live in the trauma of what I did in my past. This is a victory. This is the miracle of forgiveness. This is more than supernatural power. This is the God's power on the cross. Okay, Satan can't forgive you. The miracle of the cross, a lifetime of debt canceled out at the cross. That's a statement that you just need to believe. And so you walking in the light, I guess I saw that scripture there. I want to put that up just for a moment. Walking in the light, unbroken fellowship, and the continual cleansing of the blood. Okay. As long as we walk in the light, we have we have fellowship. Okay, am I getting this right? We have fellowship one with another. I think we're moving on from verse 7 towards verse 9 on that. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, what's the result of that? We have what? We have fellowship. You know, obviously we have fellowship with the Father. That's our calling. But with one another. Okay. And that is really the reality of whether a person is really walking in the light or not. When they break fellowship, when they refuse to forgive, or they don't take it serious to reconcile, then they're in darkness. They're not walking in light. Okay. Fellowship is the witness that we are walking in God's forgiveness and that we are forgiving one another. Okay. And so we were really given a ministry. You know, sometimes people don't understand that when you receive Christ, you were called into the ministry. Okay. They go through their whole life wondering, you know, what did God call me to do? Well, he gave you the ministry of reconciliation. Okay. And it's not just Romans 5, 10 and 11. Let's just look at that just for a moment. Romans 5. How's our time doing? Are we okay yet? We only have 2 hours to go or what? I'd be standing here ministering to the walls at that point, right? So a lifetime of debt. Walking in the light. Okay, you moved on to the next verse. This guy really goes, for if we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Say reconciliation. See, God's for reconciliation. He is not for distancing yourself from people. That is not the spirit of Christ. He is for forgiving and telling your fault and giving us the grace to reconcile. That's why you've got so many people running to this church and that church, because they got offended and they never resolved the conflict. Hello, somebody. And people need to be taught about forgiveness, because that's a teaching that just is not there. Okay. And I have never tried to justify unforgiveness. Okay, I did it once when I was a brand new Christian, and it was a horrible thing not to forgive. I went through that whole thing. I am open for healing and reconciliation. Why is that? Because that is the Spirit of Christ. Hello? Okay. So walking in the light, it brings us into an unusual place with God of continual cleansing from all sin. Okay. And so, continual cleansing from... Let's go back to Romans 5, 10, and 11 real quick. But Romans, I think it's 5. Yeah, I think we... Thank you, 5, 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have received the atonement. Okay. I'm joyful that God forgives and that I can be forgiven when I need forgiveness. And I think the last thing that you and I would want is for something to be between us and God. Okay. And that's the same way with a fellow believer. We don't want something between... If they're offended in some way, then we do our best to try and resolve that conflict and reconcile with that person. Otherwise, we have no witness. We have no witness to the world. If we're just Christians, that we get offended and we're gone, you know what I mean? That is not Christ. That is not his witness. Okay, the world isn't impressed with it to watch Christians in unforgiveness. Okay, and obviously it can always be justified, you know. Sin, the sin of unforgiveness destroys relationships, and much more grace, you know, where sin abounds, grace that much more abound. Jesus is the miracle of forgiveness. The cross was a miracle of divine forgiveness that would affect us through time and eternity. It was an eternal act that will never pass away. Okay. Colossians 1:20, I had that scripture there. Are you still with me? Okay. And having made peace, I just love that this scripture. I just love it. And having made peace through the blood of the cross, say it with me, and having made peace through the blood of the cross, that's what God's interested in. He wants us to have the peace of reconciliation. He wants us to have the peace of his forgiveness. Okay. And sometimes we live in a way that we're troubled inside because we haven't forgiven ourselves or we haven't forgiven others. Okay. I love the scripture. Having made peace through the blood of the cross, by him to reconcile all things to himself. Now, when blood's applied, everything, all of that is reconciled. All of that is restored when it comes under the blood. It's restored. It's reconciled back to God. Okay, he has ownership of it. By him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Hallelujah. That's the power of reconciliation that Satan doesn't have, that false religions don't have. Here's a couple thoughts before I close here, but we must listen to me now. I know it's simple, but I came to the reality of a certain reality that I must stop practicing unforgiveness. Okay, and quit bringing someone's sin against you up. You're practicing unforgiveness. You see what I'm saying? Quit that. Stop that behavior. That's carnal behavior, to relive an offense instead of resolving that offense and asking that person for reconciliation. You're just going to justify what you're doing, and it's wrong. And we must repent of practicing unforgiveness. Okay. Once we forgive someone, God gives us grace to forget it. Okay, it's not that we don't remember it, but it gives us grace to put that under the blood, and I've had it as though it never happened. It happened, but the blood was so powerful that it was like it had absolutely, after I forgave, it had absolutely no effect on me, as though it never happened. That's what Christian reconciliation needs to be about. Hello, somebody. Okay. Doesn't justification say just as though we never sinned? Okay, there's power in the blood of Jesus. There's power in forgiveness. There's divine power in forgiveness. When you receive it and when you give it, you are under the divine reconciliation of God's power. Okay. And so unforgiveness, of course, we've all seen it, the destructive behavior that it creates among relationships. And you can dress it up in your Sunday meeting clothes. You can use human reasoning to justify it, but it falls short of the glory of God's forgiveness. Are you getting it? Unforgiveness is a powerful relationship destroyer. It not only destroys our relationship with God, when we don't believe we're forgiven with God, that completely hinders our harmony and faith in God. When I don't believe I'm forgiven, that completely hinders my faith in making peace with God. The only way I'm going to make peace with God is I have to believe, and you have to believe, that you are forgiven. Lord, you're not holding my past against me, and I'm not either. I'm now justified as though I never committed that sin. Okay, that's the way God looks at it. Okay. And so now we see, obviously the accuser of the brethren, we can see that so clearly in the book of Job, where we can see what Satan, how he works. He accuses us before God night and day. Matthew, well, I don't want to, I, I just want to look at Matthew 18, 15 through 7, and we're gonna close here shortly, but Matthew 18, 15 through 7. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him of his fault between he and thee. And, you know, we run around telling everybody what they did, you know. Instead of going to the right place. See. Now, it's my responsibility to teach the truth and help you understand. Okay. Go tell him his fault between he and thee alone. Say it with me. Go tell him his fault. Between thee and him alone. Okay. I've certainly rarely seen that. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. Okay. And I realize there are situations where I'm like you. I ran into situations where a person was persistently wanted to continue to sin. And that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about repentance and reconciliation. Okay. And then Matthew 5, 23 and 24. Thank you. Therefore, if you bring thy gift to the altar and thou rememberest that thy brother has aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother and then come and offer thy gift. You know, God's big on reconciliation. In all the years that I've pastored, and I can't count on one hand people making an effort to reconcile. Not one. Okay, and I'm not saying that to feel sorry for myself, but it's just unheard of. We don't see that practice anymore. It's easier to just leave and go somewhere else instead of taking responsibility to obey God. Okay, and so it's a statement of total forgiveness. We're dealing with total forgiveness. And we do everything we can to reflect that in our life and in relationships. Okay. Let's just look at one more scripture, Acts 7, 54 through 59. Now, Christ showed us total forgiveness when we were sinning against him. And Acts 7, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed on him with their teeth. That was Stephen telling the truth. And being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. This is he could see it. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witness laid down their clothes at the young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, saying, he called upon God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Okay. So is that there wasn't a 60? Okay, there was. I know there's a part in there where he said, forgive them, Lord, for they know not. What, wasn't there a part in that? Let's go back up to the 58th verse. Maybe I got it wrong. I don't know. Lay not their sin to their charge. Yeah. Okay. Now, what was his last act? What was one of the last acts of Jesus on the cross? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Okay. What did Stephen say? Why did he pray that? Why did he pray that for his enemies? I believe that God answered that prayer. I believe at some point in time, all those people, and Saul was one of the first ones, that God answered it. It was Saul that was behind this stoning. And then he became saved, and he became saved, and I'm going to tell you why he became saved. It was through Stephen's prayer that he was saved. Okay. What a powerful testimony to the prayer of forgiveness. Okay. And that's why it's so important. I'm going to close here, but it is so important. I've got a whole another section of this teaching. It talks about forgiveness, talks about praying for those who despitefully use you and persecute you. How many Christians really do that? How many really pray like Stephen did, prayed for his persecutors, and then the power of that prayer prevailed in a man named Saul, called Paul, and he touched more Christians in his lifetime than any other man, and wrote the Pauline epistle due to one powerful prayer that a dying man prayed, Lord, don't lay it to his charge. Tell me there's no power in forgiveness. Okay. Tell me that. And if we just start using that power or yielding to that power and learning to pray for our enemies, pray, bless those that despitefully use us and persecute us. I had an opportunity last week to do that very thing. And, in giving something to a person that it was a total shock to me when it happened. And you're going to find sometimes that, you need to repent and apologize to people, okay? I'm not saying that. You do need to learn to ask forgiveness. We haven't gotten into that, really, that aspect of it, but you need to learn to ask forgiveness, okay? And ask for mercy and ask for reconciliation. And you know what? God wants to restore. He does not want to divide. Amen? Now, God is here today to touch your life. If you need help or healing, God is here at this. We're going to be up at this altar to pray for you and receive the ministry of the power of the Holy Spirit in your life to transform your life. And I just bless every one of you. Okay, I want you to just raise your hands with me. Raise your hands with me. Lord, I receive the reality of your power of forgiveness in my heart. Lord, let your forgiveness be established in my heart. Let it dominate my thinking. Let it dominate my heart. I am a forgiver in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for that. Praise the Lord.
Amen.